The financial barrier to being like a well-equipped software developer has just fundamentally shifted over the last few
Oh,
years.
absolutely. It's completely different now.
Right, because it used to be a capital expense. You'd go out, you buy a powerful laptop, maybe a good mechanical keyboard, a couple of high-res monitors, and you're pretty much set for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, you just buy the gear and you're done.
Exactly. But now all the heavy lifting has moved to the cloud, so that developer tool belt is now just this endless series of recurring operating expenses.
Death by a thousand subscriptions.
Literally. I mean, between IDE subscriptions, cloud servers, database hosting, it really stacks up. But the one line item that's rapidly overtaking all of the others is the AI coding assistant.
Oh, for sure. That's the big one right now.
Yeah, because if you're running the industry standard models and you have them fully integrated into your workflow, you're looking at hundreds of dollars in monthly API and subscription fees. It's insane.
It really is. The phrase we keep seeing in the development community lately is death by a thousand API calls.
Ouch. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because when you're running those top-tier frontier models continuously, like throughout an 8-hour workday, it scales so aggressively.
Especially when you're passing multi-megabyte code bases back and forth, right?
Lots
With
of
every
different.
single prompt.
Exactly. It moves from being this negligible tool cost to a massive budgetary consideration. And that's true whether you're a solo freelancer or, managing a whole engineering team.
Which honestly makes the topic of today's deep dive incredibly pragmatic for you listening. We are looking at a direct comparison taking place right in the terminal.
A really interesting comparison, too.
Yeah, so we're pulling from a comprehensive new review from popularatools.ai, and we're combining that with developer guides and the actual technical documentation from Moonshot AI.
Right, to get the full picture under the hood.
Exactly. So our mission today is to put the undisputed, highly expensive, heavyweight champion Claude Code, which, again, can easily push past $200 a month for a power user.
Easily.
Right, up against this scrappy open source challenger called Kimi Code CLI.
And the contrast in the pricing models is really the inciting incident for this whole discussion. I mean, Kibi Code offers a pro plan for just $19 a month.
$19 versus 200, that is a massive gap.
It's huge. And the central question that the popular atools.ai review tries to answer is whether a tool operating at a fraction of that cost can actually compete in a real production environment.
Like, do you just get what you pay for, or is there a real alternative here?
Exactly.
Well, I think we should establish what Kimi Code CLI actually is before we start, nerding out over the API costs. Because if the architecture can't handle modern development, then who cares if you save $100, right?
Yeah, the monthly savings are totally irrelevant if it writes terrible code.
Right. So what are we looking at here?
So Kimi Code CLI is built by Moonshot AI, and that CLI designation command line interface is the defining characteristic. This is very much a terminal-first application.
Got it. So no fancy graphical
No,
interface.
it completely eschews the typical chat window GUI you see in browsers, or like IDE sidebars. The documentation really emphasizes that it's built specifically for developers who just live in the command line all day.
Which is a lot of us, to be fair.
Oh yeah, it allows you to execute scripts, debug things, traverse directories, all without ever context switching out of your primary workspace.
Okay, so the engine running underneath that command line interface is Moonshot's K2.6 model, which the docs say is an iteration of their K2.5 foundation. And the spec sheet highlights a 1 million token context window.
Yeah, and that 1 million token capacity is basically the baseline requirement to even be in the same conversation as Claude today.
You just need that much space to work with.
Exactly. It means Kimi can hold an enormous repository like all the source code, the documentation, previous commit histories, system logs, all of it in active memory for a single query.
That's a ton of data. But the defining technical feature of this K2.6 model is how it processes that massive context window without, requiring catastrophic amounts of computing power, right?
Right. And that's where the architecture comes in. They're utilizing a mixture of experts or MoE architecture.
Okay, so for anyone who hasn't dug into MoE, think of it like a massive trillion book library. If you walk in needing a specific algorithm for a Dale pipeline, You don't turn on the lights in the entire building and search every single floor.
Right, that would be a huge waste of energy.
Exactly. You only flip the switch in the specific aisle that's dedicated to data engineering. So you get the benefit of comprehensive library, but you only expend the energy required for that one aisle. Does that track?
That tracks perfectly. And the raw numbers from the Moonshot documentation align exactly with that library concept. I mean, K2.5 and K2.6 are built as 1 trillion parameter models.
Which sounds incredibly heavy.
It does. But during inference, when you actually send a prompt to it, only 32 billion of those parameters actually activate.
Oh, wow. Just a tiny fraction.
Yeah. The model uses this routing network to analyze your prompt and determine which specific expert subnetworks are best suited to handle the request.
So you have the knowledge density of a trillion parameters, but the processing overhead of a much, much smaller model.
Exactly. And that routing efficiency translates directly to output speed.
I was going to ask about speed.
Yeah, the developer guides clock Kimi's output at a blistering 100 tokens per second.
Wow.
Right. In a terminal environment, that means you aren't just sitting there watching code slowly tyke itself out line by line. Entire functions, massive configuration files, they're essentially streaming onto the screen as fast as you can read them.
That's incredible. And I guess because Moonshot is only activating, what, 32 billion parameters per request, their own server compute costs are drastically lower than a dense model where every single parameter fires every time.
Spot on. That hardware efficiency is the actual mechanism that allows them to radically undercut the rest of the market on price.
Which brings us to the actual API math. Let's break that down. Because that $19 Pro plan we mentioned, that's just the baseline membership, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
If you are utilizing these models deeply, you're paying usage costs on top of that base fee.
Right. So what are the actual API rates?
So the API pricing structure for Kimi is set at just 60 cents per million input tokens. And then 2.50 cents per million output tokens.
Okay, so the popular atools.ai review benchmarks that against Claude Sonnet 4.6. And they note that Kimi is roughly like 5 to 6 times cheaper.
Easily. A heavy day of terminal usage that might cost you $10 with Kimi could push closer to $100 with Claude.
That's a massive difference over a month. But the raw API rates are only really half the equation here, right? Because the source has heavily emphasized the impact of Kimi's cash discount.
Oh, the cash discount is arguably the most important feature for a developer's daily workflow. Kimi provides a 75% discount for repeated prompts via their caching system.
75%. Okay, so to understand why that discount matters so much, we need to look at how a developer actually interacts with these tools in practice. You rarely just send a code base once and log off.
Never. It's totally iterative.
Right. You send the entire repository and ask it to write a function.
Mm.
Then you send the entire repository again and ask it to write a unit test for that function. Then you send it again to fix a bug in the test it just wrote.
Yeah. You are repeatedly uploading the exact same massive block of context over and over.
So how does the cache actually handle that?
Well, when Kimi ingests that repository for the first time, it doesn't just hold the raw text strings in memory. It actually processes those files through its neural network and converts the code into mathematical representations.
Okay.
Specifically, it computes the key value states. This forms what's called the KV cache. And the heavy computational lifting, the part that actually costs standard API rates, is mapping all those mathematical relationships the first time.
Ah, I see. So for the second request, the model isn't rereading the text of your code base at all. It just accesses the pre-computed mathematical weights from the KV cache. So it basically bypasses that intensive processing phase entirely.
Exactly. And Moonshot passes that computational savings directly back to the user. So with that 75% discount applied to the cached context, your effective input cost plummets to roughly like 15 cents per million tokens.
15 cents? That's almost negligible.
Yeah. For a workflow built entirely around iterative prompting against a static code base, the financial compounding there is just massive.
Okay. The cost savings are undeniably attractive. I mean, it's hard to argue with 15 cents. But playing devil's advocate here, looking at the performance metrics in the popular atools.ai review, there's a significant caveat when we look at the SW bench scores.
Ah, right. The SW Bench scores.
Yeah, because SW Bench is widely considered like the gold standard for evaluating AI software engineering, right? It tests the model against real historical GitHub issues.
It's a very rigorous test, yeah.
So the review clearly shows Claude Sonnet 4 achieving a 72.7% resolution rate, but Kimi K2.6 is sitting at 55.2%. That is a 17.5% gap in resolving real-world engineering problems. Doesn't that suggest a pretty material difference in underlying reasoning capability? Like, aren't we just paying less for a dumber model?
It's a fair pushback. And that SWE bench gap isolates exactly what you were paying a premium for when you use Claude. The tasks where Claude really pulls ahead of Kimi typically involve very complex multi-file logical dependencies.
Right, like the heavy architectural stuff.
Exactly. Imagine a scenario where a database schema update requires cascading changes through the middleware and then adjusting the API endpoints and finally updating the front-end state management.
Basically, a systemic architecture-wide refactor where if it loses the thread on file D, it completely breaks the changes it just made back in file A.
Yes. Claude Opus and Sonnet possess this zero-shot reasoning depth to hold that entire complex architectural map in their heads and execute the systemic fix sequentially without hallucinating.
And Kimi struggles with that.
Kimi struggles more with those deep, cascading logical chains. If you are architecting a highly complex, mission-critical backend from scratch, Claude's superior reasoning is really the necessary tool.
Okay, which means Kimi has to compensate for that deficit in raw reasoning depth somehow. Otherwise, it really is just a cheaper, less capable tool that you'd only use for basic scripts.
Right.
But according to the Moonshot documentation, their countermeasure to this reasoning gap is basically sheer brute force parallelism.
Yes. And this is where things get really exciting. Claude code operates strictly sequentially. It reads a file, processes the logic, outputs the code, and then moves to the next task in the queue.
One thing at a time.
Right. It's a single thread of execution. Kimi, on the other hand, bypasses that sequential bottleneck entirely through a feature they call Agent Swarm.
Agent Swarm. Sounds like sci-fi.
It kind of is. Instead of relying on one agent to process a list of tasks one by one, Kimi can spawn up to 100 parallel sub-agents simultaneously.
Okay, so to put that into an analogy, it's the difference between assigning a massive project to one brilliant senior architect who absolutely insists on doing every single task manually, one by one, versus handing the project to 100 highly capable mid-level developers who can just swarm the checklist concurrently and get it done all at once.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. And the developer guides actually provide a highly practical example of this with batch test generation.
Oh, tell me about that.
So suppose you have a directory containing 30 separate files, and your mandate is to achieve full test coverage by writing unit tests for every single file.
A completely tedious job.
Very. Now, if you hand that directory to a sequential AI like Claude, it processes file one, writes the test, verifies it, and then moves to file two. The documentation notes that processing those 30 files sequentially takes roughly 45 minutes of terminal time.
45 minutes. Okay, still faster than a human, but you're waiting around.
Right. But when you execute that exact same command using Kimi's agent swarm, the model analyzes the directory and assigns each file to an independent parallel subagent. All 30 files are analyzed and written simultaneously.
Wow. So what's the time difference?
The total execution time drops from 45 minutes to just 10 minutes.
That is a game changer for large-scale refactoring. But wait, my immediate thought here. The technical friction when you have 100 autonomous agents modifying a code base simultaneously is merge conflicts.
Of course.
Right. If Agent 12 and Agent 45 are touching shared dependencies at the exact same time, you risk compiling a completely broken state. It sounds like chaos.
It would be. But the swarm architecture utilizes a coordinator worker model to mitigate that concurrency chaos.
Oh, okay. How does that work?
The initial prompt goes to a coordinator agent. That coordinator maps out the project dependencies, isolates the files so they can be worked on independently without overlapping scopes, and only then spins up the worker subagents.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, the workers execute their isolated tasks, and then the coordinator handles the aggregation at the end to ensure the final output remains cohesive.
Okay, that orchestration makes the swarm incredibly viable for large-scale, localized refactoring or like code-based migrations, say shifting an entire repository from one styling framework to another. The tasks are repetitive and easily isolated, which perfectly fits that parallel model.
Exactly.
But deploying 100 agents simultaneously must introduce a different kind of friction, right? Like what about API rate limits?
Good catch. Yes, Moonshot AI enforces a strict quota system. And that's to prevent developers from inadvertently executing basically a distributed denial of service attack on their own billing accounts or on Moonshot servers.
Right, racking up a huge bill in 10 minutes.
Exactly. So Kimi utilizes a 5-hour rolling token quota. Depending on the specific model tier and the mode you're operating in, your account is allocated between 300 and 1,200 API calls per 5-hour window.
Okay, a rolling window. So that means if you burn through your entire allocation of, say, 800 calls at 9:00 a.m. because you aggressively spammed the agent swarm on a massive root directory, you are locked out.
You're completely locked out. You won't start recovering those API calls until 2:00 p.m.
Wow. So managing that quota requires a pretty strategic shift in how developers actually utilize AI. It forces you to evaluate the nature of your task before execution.
Very much so. You really learn to reserve the swarm for massive parallelizable batches, and you rely on just a single agent for standard line-by-line debugging.
You know, integrating a tool with distinct operational quirks like a rolling quota and a swarm architecture usually requires significant workflow adaptation. I mean, if a developer has already spent weeks configuring Claude Code to connect to their specific local environments and databases, adopting Kimi implies a pretty costly migration.
It normally would, yes.
But the Moonshot documentation highlights Kimi's native support for MCP, right? The Model Context Protocol.
Yes, and the adoption of MCP is just a crucial architectural decision here. MCP is an open standard that standardizes how AI models connect to external data sources. Because Kimi supports it natively, it operates within the exact same tool ecosystem as Claude Code.
Wait, really? So any custom integrations a developer has already built, like scripts that allow the AI to query a local PostgreSQL database, read the local file system, or ping internal company APIs, they just work immediately with Kimi.
They work immediately out of the box. They didn't attempt to build some proprietary walled garden ecosystem. They built their engine to plug directly into the existing standardized infrastructure.
That is so smart.
It is. And the compatibility provided by MCP, combined with Kimi's open source nature, enables what is arguably the most compelling workflow configuration detailed in the developer guides.
What's that?
Well, developers are not treating this as an either-or proposition anymore. They are actively configuring Kimi's API to serve as the back-end engine for the Claude Code CLI itself.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they retain the Claude command line interface they are already familiar with, but they swap out the underlying computational engine depending on the task.
Exactly. It's the ultimate hybrid setup. It allows you to utilize Kimi K2.5 for routine boilerplate generation, localized bug fixes, and massive parallel refactoring, where you really want the speed of the swarm and that sweet 15-cent cached API cost.
Right. And then.
Then, when you encounter a deeply complex architectural issue that requires high-level SWE bench reasoning, you just execute a simple terminal command to switch the active model back to Claude Opus.
That effectively solves the pushback regarding Kimi's lower reasoning scores. You aren't forced to compromise on deep logical capabilities when you truly need them. You just stop paying a massive premium for the mundane, repetitive tasks.
Exactly. You build a hybrid engine customized for financial and computational efficiency.
Well, looking at all of this, the popular atools.ai review concludes that Kimi Code CLI is a highly legitimate competitor, but its value proposition seems deeply tied to the user profile, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It dominates if your primary objective is aggressive cost reduction, or if your daily workflow is bottlenecked by sequential processing and would benefit from swarm parallelism.
Or if you just maintain a strong preference for open source, highly configurable tooling.
Right. And the review also notes a really specific niche advantage for developers working in international environments. The K2.6 model was trained with a heavy emphasis on Chinese and English bilingual code bases.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it gives it a distinct edge in parsing documentation or variable names that blend both languages, which is super common in global teams.
The broader takeaway for you listening from analyzing these sources is really a necessary evolution in how developers evaluate AI tooling. I mean, the era of simply looking at a benchmark leaderboard and subscribing to the model with the highest percentage is ending.
It really is.
Being an effective, well-equipped developer now requires an understanding of underlying model architectures. Knowing when to deploy a deep reasoning sequential model and when to deploy a fast, inexpensive mixture of experts model. Resource allocation is becoming just as critical as writing syntax.
Beautifully said.
But, you know, there is a secondary implication to this technology that wasn't explicitly debated in the hardware specs or pricing tiers, yet it just hovers over the entire concept of the agent swarm for me.
Oh, what's that?
The shift in the developer's role itself. We have spent the last few years navigating widespread industry anxiety regarding AI replacing the role of the software engineer, right?
Sure, yeah.
But when you look at a command line interface that allows a single human to spin up 100 independent parallel digital workers to execute a massive refactoring project in 10 minutes, It kind of challenges the premise of replacement. It suggests developers are rapidly evolving from code writers into managers of digital engineering teams.
Ah, I see what you mean. The transition from being the bricklayer to being the foreman who oversees and directs 100 robotic bricklayers.
Yes. The core competency shifts from executing the manual labor to providing the architectural vision and, crucially, validating the output.
That's a huge shift.
If the daily reality of software engineering is shifting from sequential typing to concurrent team management, it fundamentally challenges how we approach computer science education. Are we still focusing entirely on teaching syntax and single-file logic to the next generation of students?
Or do we need to pivot toward teaching, delegation, architectural oversight, and conflict resolution across massive AI-generated code bases?
Exactly, because if you are deploying 100 digital agents inside your terminal, your success is no longer dictated by how fast you can type. It's dictated by how effectively you can manage the army you are paying for.
The terminal is no longer just an interface for interacting with a machine. It's an interface for directing a localized workforce.
It is a profound shift in the mechanics of software creation. Just something to evaluate the next time you look at your monthly API bill. Until next time, keep digging.